only the presentation this morning that I've heard, there was allegation of interference and there was a counter, let's say there was a rebut to say, well, the independence is a big issue. So that is the issue that I mean, there was also indication by the Marula that Northwest is not interfering. That's in essence, if you listen to this morning's presentation, all of the other issues, the related issues that will go to court, or will, you know, be the NDP or so. I've got two questions, one to IPET and one to the SAPS, and then we will go to Honourable Molapatsi. On the one hand, we've got two institutions within the Peace and Stability Unit that is the subject of this hearing. Now, my question to the Executive Director is, did you take up these issues with the Executive Authority, and what is the feedback at this stage with regard to the matter? Then my question to General Paslani is general. You are the subject of my IPET investigation. Wouldn't that have been more appropriate maybe to totally withdraw from involvement in the investigation and also giving directions since even because you are the acting National Commissioner? So I just want to know, wouldn't that have been appropriate for yourself not to be involved in the matter as such until it's fully investigated? Right, let's go to Honourable Molapatsi.
Chairperson, thanks. I'm just very impressed. The first question to the acting National Commission. Why was the unit, the so-called Northwest unit, established, that is led by General Mabula, why was it established? My second one is just a straight one to say, have you ever interfered in the investigations of IPET? My question to IPET is, who is Osuluma? What type of work is he doing? Is he a South African citizen? My second one to IPET is, did you ever work with him in this investigation at any stage? Thanks, Chair. That's enough for this round.
Thank you, Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the whole presentation. My first question I want to ask the acting National Commissioner, because last time when we heard they say witnesses are killed and others are arrested, who are those witnesses that are killed and arrested? My second question is, who is this Paulo Suluzin? And I want to know, is the IPET Act allow them to work with the private investigator or what? My third question is for General Mabula. General Mabula, who sent you to investigate the IPET? Because now it seems as if you are interfering, you are appointed by General Paslani. We want to know, can you please tell us the truth here? Because we don't want to hear rumors and what any in investigating in investigating the IPET, what is it that you want to gain? Because the IPET is investigating General Paslani. So I want to know, who appointed you to investigate after the IPET? Is it General Paslani or who? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to understand from IPET, who does Paul O'Sullivan serve? And again, on which interest is he so clinging to IPET? And again, IPET McBride, why are you so much connected to Paul O'Sullivan when you are independent? You claim to be independent. but investigation bounces back to Paul O'Sullivan, and Paul is a private investigator. Then are you investigating this issue on your own, or you are investigating this issue based on the strength from the private investigator when you are claiming to be independent? Because it's ICIS, that's right, Paul O'Sullivan, all those things. I'm missing the point to understand your modus operandi there. And again, if I'm going out of an understanding of this thing, the chairperson will stop me, but I should think I have the right to be clarified so that I'm able to understand the whole process of this meeting. Because my bride, seated where you are, there's still a cloud hanging over your head about dramatic issue. And now you are investigating
the Honourable Leader, we shouldn't become personal, please just deal with that effect.
Thank you. I withdraw that one.
Yes, Honourable
No, Mr. President, no, Mr. President, in us dealing with the security forces of Ireland, I think we need to be as much objective and very, very focused and very sensitive as well. My only concern, General, I'll be very frank here. You know, my question, Chairperson, I think we carry the aspirations of the people of South Africa, who overwhelmingly said, based on the historical past, in every appointment of the head of our men and women in blue, not coming from the ranks of police, it would be better that an appointment is made from within the ranks. And at least we saw some kind of synergy as members were gaining confidence and all that, being led by one of them in the name of the acting commissioner. And I personally also, being black also, and the evolving democracy that seeks to affirm black people after a long period of being subjected to unfair treatment in the country. So I'm very, 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 very sympathetic to the cause, and I understand that what is the meaning of that to me and the rest of the people as well, who are still living victims of crime even today. Now, but my only concern, General Election Commissioner, is when the head of the house is under attack, why don't we see you have got your deputy head, and even the leader of the detectives from the central command in the headquarters of police? Instead, we get provincial command in the name of the general who made the presentation. And looking at the power relations that exist between the acting commissioner and then you get this kind of skepticism to say, what is it that is really happening here? Why don't you, because once the head represents the center, once there is an attack to the head, the entire house needs to be up in arms to say, we stand by our own. Now, I don't see that. I'm sure that they will help each other to actually then answer that. What makes that not being the case? I was expecting the deputy commissioner here to say, indeed, in our police management, this is then committee the validity of these things. Then it won't be much of a question, Chairperson, because I don't want to get into the credibility of Sullivan and all that in the line of investigation and all that. I've got my own reservations about him, because I know, as I said, even in that previous meeting, about the times, you know, about that man who died and all these things. I know, during the times of the Scorpions, I know really what happened. But in the line of investigation, are the witnesses all angels, or they are the holes who are broken and all that? I don't want, those are just technicalities of investigation, which I think we need to be sensitive to as well. That is why, then, Chairperson, I was raising the point that says, as the committee, because we have got also our people who must have, whose confidence to our men and women in blue must never be tempted by this. Get a particular process which I think we will be able to come to that conclusion. But at the moment, I will just rest my case to say, the question of interference, what more better method will have to be applied by the committee to ensure that none of the formations, following your question, Chairperson, to say, would it not be better for the acting commissioner to step aside and allow other seniors to actually then take the matter forward? Because it doesn't affect him, it affects the country, it affects all of us. It affects even the lines of the operational capability of our police in the country. I would like to stop there for a while, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mbu. Honourable Lubo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, no, I think as far as I'm concerned, for me, it's about what is fair. We must have a balanced view on this issue. And in the end, we must ask ourselves what is in the best interest of the police services and what is in the best interest of South Africa. Having said that, Chairperson, Mr. McBride did everything he could, even went to the Constitutional Court to protect his rights. So I think it's just fair if you say that the acting commissioner also has the right, even though to the highest courts, to protect these rights. It's just fair. Secondly, Chairperson, the allegation from IPED is that there's interference from the side of SAPS, from the commissioner. And interference in their independency. From SAPS side, they say, but sorry, there is no independent investigation, because they have actually proved that the so-called person O'Sullivan is actually part and parcel of the investigation, having access to highly classified secret documents, which is a total breach of security, which is not permissible. And that is what we have to deal with. If we go into all the fine details, I think that is for the case to come. And I think, from SAP side, of course they have the right then to say, but listen, if we have a breach, a security breach, as far as documents are concerned, then surely we must investigate. From the side of IPED, if they say they want to do it independently, of course, they have the right to say, we want to do an investigation independently. But then, Chairperson, my question is, why, from IPED's side, if we look at this matter, you see it spilled all over the media. If it is an independent investigation, why, for instance, on arrival at the house, the private house of the acting commissioner, you must see on television people who are not members of IPED? That's totally irregular. Why are they part and parcel of the investigation? I've also laid charges at IPIP. They've asked me what the complaint is, but they never asked me to accompany them to investigate the matter. That is not permissible. Because the moment you do that, then you put your own independence in question. And I have a serious question to IPIP. Why do we always see that O'Sullivan and associates are always busy with the investigation? And the emails are important. It expresses a certain attitude. And I think we want a clear question on that. Because IPIP cannot say they're investigating it independently if they have O'Sullivan and all the people with them. That's my first question. My second one to IPIP. Do we say that IPIP investigators are above the law? Who inspects or who investigates IPIP investigators? As far as I'm concerned, they're not above the law. My side to the sub-side chairperson. The acting commissioner said he's willing to give his cooperation for the investigation. Now my question is to the acting commissioner. Coming from an investigation from IPIP, was the team that also started the investigation on this case, was it solely because of that, the fact that there is an investigation against the commissioner, acting commissioner? Or was it because of a security breach? I want to have clarity as far as that is concerned. And I don't want to get politically chairperson. I see some people get presidential protection units protection if there's a security threat. So at least I think that the acting commissioner is entitled to protection if there is a threat. So those are the main matters. And my last question maybe I just want to ask. Is it possible to ask for IPIP that please I don't want to read anything further about this case in the media until it's finalized in the court? Thank you.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair, and to the both the subs and the asset presentation. But can I just say right at the beginning that the basket of issues which has been thrown in this discussion, which at the beginning of this discussion and at the preparing for the meeting was not intended for this discussion. So there is a whole lot of issues that now they are before the committee, and I must say that some of them we may not necessarily have a competency to deal with, because they will be dealt with in a different level. So, and if I don't comment on those issues, it's not necessarily the fact that I don't want, but I think some of them need a particular forum for discussion. But having said that, Chair, can I just say that I think my fear when this issue was raised at the beginning is confirmed. The fear that I had, what responses and what IPIP was saying and what the police are presenting confirms my fear. My fear is this, that in the process of fighting crime, the focus does not necessarily focus in dealing with that, but it becomes inward. And we've been here before. Complete circle that we've been here, we are now here again. And the question is that happens, it probably poses the particular questions in terms of if you have that kind of the pose, the extremes, for that battle, when are we going to focus in the real time, the real work that we need to do? That's, for me, the problem I have. Now, coming to the question, if I narrow down the issues for the allegation. The allegation is interference by SEBS on the investigation. And the response is, or the counter to that is saying, and I'm paraphrasing that General Pasani, and and I'm going to do a great job of this, and I can just feel of it. The response is, we don't recognize you, you don't exist, there is a capture, you've been captured, you don't work any longer for purpose in which you have been established to work as IPED. You work for other forces, and that entitles us as the police to respond in a particular way. And the way we're going to respond to that, to our view and opinion, and having on that issue, can I just say that all of these organs are creatures of law. They're established based on the law, and that law has to be respected, that the law is in what that governs. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem if you don't. So the response is, because we have a strong opinion about what we have in our box, in our toolbox. In our toolbox, what we have those SMSs that prove that there's been a communication between this and the other when that investigation happened. So we're going to therefore not recognize, and we're going to do the counter. And the counter is going to be, and there's something that worries me that I just need to say, there's a threat that runs through the presentation of the police. The police are saying, we are pursuing an investigation on the threat that we have received. Now, in the presentation to me, and correct me if I'm I see the presentation that links this threat with what is happening in IPED. Basically, there's a line that says, this threat of a national commissioner's life, IPED has something to do with it. And the line is the people that are working there or that are in associate with IPED in terms of interaction, there is a chain of communications that forms this narratives of the threat. Now, if that is the case, I ask myself the question, should there not be an investigation on the threat and action taken on a threat in terms of the law? Nip it in the bud to say, isolate it and say, this is where the problem is, and let's deal with that particular problem. Paul O'Sullivan, there's lots of being mentioned about him. Now, he can't run the security of the country. We can't run our security. I don't know whether he's a South African or he's non-South African or he's got a dual membership of it, but he can't run it. The South African leader is the one that must run this institution. Now, I think IPED will have to do some degree of explaining on the issue about IPED. What is the role of IPED in the investigation? Because if it's a complainant, it's a complainant, but it's not running commentary and rank involvement in it. But National Commission, I'm worried about this. Maybe, don't you think that the counter-investigation could be construed as interference? If not, interference is also part of intimidation of those that are investigating this particular matter. Now, if it's so, would it not be a problem that, and then it becomes a matter that you are seen to be associated with? Because if the team is established by you to do this investigation and is characterized as an interference and intimidation, it can put you at the, rather the beginning, at the center of the problem. Don't you see that as a problem? If it is a problem, what, how do we deal with it? What does the, I mean, the witness of case of, you don't share witnesses. The witnesses of IPED, in their case, it becomes their witness on their case. So now I'm hearing almost like from them that their witnesses are also being interviewed. It's a counter interview between the witnesses of IPED. Their selves is also interviewing them at the same time. Now, obviously, that's a problem. Because you can't have one witness that has to begin to give a statement on this side and a statement on this side. It becomes a problem. What is SAPS business in the IPED witnesses on this particular case? Why do we have to deal with that in that way? Now, if we say, and this is like borrowing the words of the National Commissioner, there is no IPED. What is the authority, legal authority on that? Because obviously it can't just be that based on the exchange of communication, it's a conclusion of abolishing the existing structure. Because they said there must be some degree of remedy. Has that remedy been suggested to the authority? And I'm now asking directly. This perspective, obviously, the executing authority, who's got the responsibility in terms of the act, has this viewpoint of the non-existence of IPED been reported there, and what has been the action for that? Because the danger here is, if that is the perspective of the police, in general terms, and there's 200,000 of them, and they seem to be led from the top, it then means that it's going to be free for all right through down the ranks of, because if you say this, the other, and the others will say, but the top people. So this is why I said, my beginning, we have been here before. We now back there. So what is the best thing, and what's best in the interest of policing in the country? What is it? Is it the IPED head a problem? I believe that is a problem. It is the one that brings, but let's not kill the institution. Because the institution must be protected and must be strengthened. Because on which the purpose is a creature of law by the Constitution. On this side, if the problem is with the National Commission, let's refer to ring-fence that as a problem. Because you must not allow yourself to poison the entire environment with the things that happen to the top. Because it can only happen, and the South African will have a second part in that process. So there is something that links to this, and I think Chair will have to come back at the same time. It worries me, this link. There is this whole sovereign, mono creature link. If you don't deal with this, you're dealing with this. Almost checkmate. Paul Sullivan is saying, if the National Commissioner is not doing something about somebody, he's going to do something to him. It's kind of a threat again. Now, what is this that must be dealt with? What was this thing that Paul Sullivan was also complaining about? We didn't hear that, but we heard messages that if you don't deal with this thing, you don't deal with it. Is it something that we need to be worried about? Or is it something that you are dealing with? I'm happy to hear the allegation that Paul Sullivan is also raising here. You are dealing with that, or this doesn't exist. It's just a hoax, it's just a matter. So Chair, my thing is this, I'm ending here on two questions. I'm summarizing myself. Should we not protect the institutions, both institutions? And I'm asking both the head. Should we pull this institution to a point where nobody recognizes them as an important institution? And then what happens to all the crimes that will happen to ordinary South Africans if this institution is being kicked out this way? And I'm leaving it there, Chair. I've asked those two questions, and pertinent questions, but generally others is my fear and the feeling that I have. And I do think that this is the recommendation I want to make before, in anticipation that the answer will be negative on the question of the executing authority, that I think this matter urgently, fairly urgently requires the attention of the executing authority if they don't have that for them. Because somehow it has been stopped. Because it's going completely in the wrong direction. That would be my suggestion in terms of the way forward. I can't do all the number of things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. So we've got the complete proposal from Honourable Ramakakani that we invite the Minister of Police, the Honourable Fikile Mbalula, to this committee to respond to the issues. Yes, Honourable Mbele.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will try to be quick because I can see that time is not on our side. Obviously, it's a very concerning situation that we have before us, and one that we can't afford in the police portfolio in light of the trends of rising violent crime and organized crime, and especially against the backdrop of the threatful hijacking outside Orotambo Airport yesterday. And I'd like to believe that our purpose with this particular hearing and this meeting is to get as close as possible to the truth. If Honourable Thiongo said, we aren't a court of law, we can't give any kind of verdict, but we'd like to get as close to the truth as possible in order to assist as best we can, and I think roping in the Minister will be one of the key actions. I would also like to say that it would be remiss not to note that I believe this situation was precipitated by the former Minister, the former Police Minister, by his politically enabling the questioning of the integrity and the independence of IPIC. There is a very clear backdrop to this, and that is something that must not be forgotten. What I heard mostly from the SAPS presentation, unfortunately, Chair, was mostly counter-allegations against IPIC, not responses to the IPIC allegations. In fact, the only IPIC allegation that there was a head-on direct response to was the one about the what I'm going to call the Mabula team. That's when we got an expansive but detailed and comprehensive setting the scene and context as to what that's about. So they didn't deny that allegation that there was an investigation by the Mabula team. That seemed to have been just a classic bait and switch, Chairperson, because we were baited by a response to the Mabula team allegation and that investigation, and then it was switched on us to become about questions of the independence of the IPIC. And for that reason, it's been hard for me to process about where do these two testimonials converge, diverge, overlap, and just trying to do justice to the session. I think it is also worth noting that for the members who seem to have what I'm calling the O'Sullivan obsession, maybe let's arrange a lunch with them and then they can all ask them their questions, because this committee in this hearing can't answer those questions for them. if they want to get that kind of detail and clarity on him. So, Chairperson, very quickly, my questions, I think the answers should be fairly short and straightforward.
Sorry, just a honourable advice.
Yeah, the honourable member is not right to say what he's saying about us who mentioned O'Sullivan's name. I don't think he's right. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Honourable Bijar, I think we... Yes. It's a microphone, sorry.
The honourable member is not fair to us who ask questions about Paul O'Sullivan. And this is the second time I'm asking him, what interest do you have with Paul O'Sullivan? Because you are so obsessed yourself and you are projecting it to us. And it is wrong. This must stop. We have the right to...
Honourable member, yes. No, I think the point has been made. I think let's appreciate that, but let's continue, because I'm just concerned that this venue is going to be used for one of the cleaner, mini cleaners this afternoon. So I don't want us to be caught by that session. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Chairperson, I take the points from the colleagues and we'll agree to disagree on that one. Now, my questions, Chair. I think the answers should be fairly short and straightforward. Firstly, to the Acting Commissioner, I'd like to ask him if the so-called counterintelligence unit in the SEPs that was, its establishment was announced at a press conference you had in May last year, if I recall correctly. And I put in a parliamentary question just to get some details on that. The minister's reply was quite generic and kind of there. But is this counterintelligence unit in any way involved in the allegations that we're hearing from the IPED? And if that's the case, why? So, for example, were they part of establishing the security threat, as we heard from General Mabula, my apologies. And then my question, which is to basically appeal to both the ED and to the Acting Commissioner, because I'd like to hear how the responses square up. What is the nature of the team that is said to be led by General Mabula? Is it a task team? I'm partly covered by Honourable Mulebatiko asked what is its purpose, but what is the nature of this team? Because we've heard that it's got its members, or some of its members, have had allegations against them dating back to 2006. So clearly it's a prior existing team, but I'm just trying to understand what this creature is, where it comes from, and how it then fits into this current picture. And then, because General Mabula countered the allegation from IPED that he is not a torturer, Acting Commissioner defended TAPS members saying that they are not torturers, can I ask the IPED to then state for the House, how do you know that the General Mabula or members of his team are torturers? And also if they can respond to his assertion from General Mabula that no one from IPED has approached him about the allegations. My next question, Chair, is to the SEPs. Who are the suspects in the investigation by this Northwest team, by the Mabula team? Because my understanding is that their investigation is premised on a security threat assessment that is rooted in the facts of the 9 November visits. That was my interpretation of the presentation. And if that's the correct understanding that I have there, and then why is it that Mr. Maklangu and Mr. Binang are charged in that investigation when the occupants of the vehicle were not there? So just to draw the dots from the team investigation, the premise of it, individuals and who the actual suspects are. If I've missed something, please do clarify me. And I should also point out from slide 17, I'm hoping it's a typo, but November only has 30 days, so there couldn't have been a 31st November when this meeting happened. To the Acting Commissioner, just to explain, please, what was the purpose or motive or rationale for the Section 205 application to access the dockets, given that you were the subjects of the investigation, that would seem to be a clear conflict of interest. And as the chair has suggested, the wise course of action would be to accuse rather than to get into that space. The reason for the Section 205 application. And also to the acting commissioner, on the matter of the letter that was sent to you from ICID in February, or they stamped in May, but anyway, last year, you said that the letter does not detail specific allegations against you. But the fact is, or the question is rather, why then would ICID ask to meet with you if you weren't the subject of the investigation, of the allegations? I mean, what would be the alternative explanation for them wanting to take up your valuable time if the investigation had nothing to do with you? And on the same line, I will then ask ICID if can they provide evidence of any follow-up attempts that they made to have a meeting with the acting commissioner, because she said that she's never been approached directly on this matter. And then, Chair, it's a trite question, but it is going to bug me for the remainder of the day if I don't ask it. I've heard the acting commissioner say that there is no more ICID, there is now OPID. What does the O stand for? I just want to know. Oh, thank you. Okay, I'm coming in. And then finally, Chair, I think I did ask this question at the last meeting when the ED made the allegations, but has ICID opened Section 33 charges against the members of the SAPs that they allege are interfering in their investigations? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Edelmans. You're the last, then we'll go to the responses.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think this is an absolutely unprecedented and absurd situation that we're finding ourselves in. To have two constitutional or organs of state, both tasked with incredibly important constitutional mandates, literally at one another's throat in a public forum like this. It is an absurd situation. It is shocking that we've got to this point. I don't know how to address it, and I may make some recommendations or put forward some thoughts as I go along. I have two questions that I want to raise first before I get there. I'm not going to comment or go into incredible detail about Paul O'Sullivan. I've made myself clear about, or my views clear on him in this committee before. I don't have a very high regard for the man. His reputation precedes him. But I want to know specifically, and I want to read here, it says that during the arrest of Paul O'Sullivan, a Nokia handset that was found to be in his possession was seized and later taken to the technical support unit. Information was downloaded from the handset and a report was generated by a forensic expert and the results of the estimates that we had read here. Under what authority was that handset seized? Was there a warrant for it? Was there appropriate authorization to get the information? Because as far as I know, if I'm arrested and you take myself, you must just put it somewhere in a box and keep it. There's no, you need additional authorization to extract information from that handset. I want to know whether that has happened. Because if it hasn't happened, is that evidence admissible in court? Or have we now been today subjected to, I can't even describe what was in those estimates and for what purpose, to come and portray this Machiavellian situation in the ICID and further undermine or create the counter allegations of its independence or not, as I said. My second question, has any person in the lawful employ, I'm not talking about Paul O'Sullivan, has any person in the lawful employ of ICID involved in this investigation been investigated by the SAPs and or charged or arrested by the SAPs on whichever case or whatever? Because those are some of the allegations that are made about it. Now, on the interference issue itself, as I said, we got a list here, extensive bullets of what has allegedly taken place, people being instructed not to cooperate, people being moved out of positions, etc. What we did not hear, as I said before, that the staff are not interfering. I did not hear today from the Acting National Police Commission or any one of the delegations that the staff are not interfering. But what I did hear is that a long list of reasons why they probably think it is acceptable or justifiable to do so, and why they believe they are entitled to do so, because according to that, ICID does not exist, they're not recognized, and therefore they don't have to deal with them. And it's laughable for me as the National Police Commissioner for you to say you're willing to cooperate, but in the same breath, say to us that you don't recognize them, they don't exist. I do not think those are words of someone who said that they will cooperate with an investigation. And I would like to remind you of your obligations under Section 2, specifically about the supremacy of the Constitution and the duty that imposes on you to fulfill your obligations. And secondly, on the diligent performance of those duties in Section 237. I am astonished to hear from an acting National Police Commissioner who all staff members report to eventually and who all ICER cases can involve in some way, the things that I've heard today. And it's largely because this case has, unfortunately, from the beginning, been personalized. The best thing would have been for the acting National Police Commissioner to recuse himself. And I agree with the comments and the questions about that. I actually don't think that it is proper, in terms of due process and the rule of law, for you to be anywhere near the staff at this time, or involved in any area of it that can influence the outcome of this case. That is just basic public administrative principles and common sense. But as I said, this case has been personalized from the beginning because we had ICER tell us there's an investigation, and then the National Police Commission comes with a delegation telling us the counter allegations or explaining it. And yes, Chairperson, this has been in the media, but I also think we have to take some responsibility for that. Because every time there is a discussion about this, we have a hearing like this. And it fuels the public debate, and I do think it's important for there to be transparency around it. I do not believe that there should be leaks. And Executive Director, those Section 2 and Section 237 obligations equally apply to you under the Constitution. So what I would like for us, Chairperson, is for the staff to give us a response, a written response, to every single one of these allegations of interference listed here. Not counter-allegations about independence or not, but did they instruct these people not to meet with them? Did they do this, did they do not? I would like to see that. And finally, I noted in the Acting National Police Commissioner's indication that he's willing to cooperate, but I don't understand that the letter that we were given is dated, addressed to his office, March, but the response is May. I don't understand why there's a two-month gap if there was such a further desire to deal with this investigation and to fully cooperate. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Oh, Mura, I saw your hand, but I'm not going to take any more hands.
I forgot to ask. You remember last time when we were having a portfolio committee with the IPs, I asked the ED this question. But now it's proper to ask it because Mr. Mahlangu is here. Is it true that when you went to General Patane's house, you were driving Polo Sulubeni's car? Can you tell us the truth? Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry. How are you all? Members, we've done with the questions. I think there's also a firm proposal from Honourable Redenheis that if there's any additional information or responses, the committee, of course, will receive that in writing. If there's any additional representations, we will, of course, look at that. So I'm going to ask now the Executive Director to deal with the issues. If there's other additional information that I can provide in writing, and same for the Acting National Commissioner. Let's go to the EE. Thank you.
I think firstly, to start with Honourable Redding's question about why there was a two-month delay. In the first instance, I think it's appropriate to mention that the people involved in the investigation initially, in February, March 2016, have all left and gone to SAPS. They've all gone. And as Mr. Sokka said earlier, there's no real investigation that took place. In fact, there is, because of lack of resources, we can't continue. There's clearly attempts by the investigators then on IPED to derail the investigation. But that's for another day. We'll deal with that later. Much has been made by Dawood's intercepted SMSs and so on. And meetings with former Hawks members and so on. I must just say for the record, and something I haven't told anyone before until now, I met with General Patane while this investigation was going on. And the investigation was put together by a former Hobbs person in Sevilla, in which General Patlani attempted to ask me about the investigation against him, and I refused. He might want to comment about that. So just to give you an idea, you can't cast aspersions, you open the door about former Hawks members, and then you ask them to set up meetings with me. So, General Patlani received a bravery award for a so-called attack on him, which took place in 2016. Different people who saw it on YouTube would come to different conclusions. But the issue here, there was no Mabula team.
Chairperson, we can't compare
it as well.
It's totally irrelevant, the remark. With great respect, it is this type of attitude that we are in the situation we are. To make a remark to say everyone who saw it on YouTube has different opinions, it's irrelevant. It's much leading here. And really, this is Parliament. The people are looking up at Parliament to solve the issue. And may I ask this person that the persons restrain from personal remarks, as you said. Thank you.
Yeah, let's use that approach. Mkhlunga, are you going to help me? Very few seconds, yes.
No, I'm happy, Jefferson. You're not Jefferson, as I said earlier on. You know, I find it strange that even ourselves as a committee, we appear to be taking sides when mudslinging is actually then raging from this side, and you don't expect the other side to, because that is wrong. That is why then I spoke about admissibility and non-admissibility of the evidence that is before us. If I were to apply the laws of evidence, footprint, correctly to the fullest, I was somehow going to come to what Honorable Helen Reyes came to, as to how this was actually then obtained, as to how this was actually obtained, because then we operate within the legal framework, all of us. But what I can say, Chairperson, we definitely need to avoid is to allow this thing to actually escalate to personalities. I would appeal even to us as members of the committee to say the recommendation from Honorable Ramachakane to me has got some credence, so that we can actually then avoid also, because we don't want also to have lame duck state organs that are useless. As the court says here, if you read, I can't waste your time, Chairperson, on findings on IP independence. They say IP, according to the Constitution, is actually its independence is fully guaranteed. However, there must be a step further taken, because they are in their line of duty. Their line of duty overlaps with that one of the of the Hawks. Then the rules of engagement must be ironed out in order to avoid clashes. Now, when they go and deal with the underworld as IP, that's where then the clashes will happen. As right now before us, the executive director is also presenting to us that his members are being pushed by SAPS. Why? Particularly those that are involved in the investigation. Doesn't that also highlight to us that there might be a kind of a syndicate that is there? It is in that particular context and spirit I was saying. I am actually getting a bit shocked as to why are the other generals not here from the headquarters, because when their head is actually touched, or is it because they also have an interest that even only if we can collapse the acting commissioner, I might be appointed in the position? Is there such an existence of a thing, of a conflict at the central command of policing? Because it will defeat the entire objective of fighting crime at the end of the day.
We're sure we can help you. Let's come to the core business, and I want to also ask Ipet and Seth specifically dealing with the core issue today, is the interference issue. Now, I know there's a lot of other issues, and I mean, both institutions are welcome in detail writing to respond, but let's just deal with the core issue. Yes. Executive Director, thank you, sir.
The point I was raising is very valid and pertinent before you found offensive.
understand one thing. I said he must stop his personal remarks. And whether he thinks, if I think it's relevant or not, is irrelevant as far as he's concerned. He has to answer to this house.
Right, let's go to the core business. Let's respond. Thank you.
I'm attempting to answer, Honourable Chairperson. I'm giving just a chance. During that incident, which I referred to, there was no Mabula team appointed. The Mabula team, so there was no real concern about the threat. The concern of threat only came in when I really started investigating at that stage. So that's the point I'm making. Now, executive authority, Honourable Chairperson, yes, we've written letters. We've written two letters to Minister Ntlego. We've written one to Minister Mbalula, and we've written one to the President and to the appointing authority. It must be remembered, however, acting Commissioner Patani is not the national commissioner, he's acting. Sometimes he leaves the country, goes out, someone else is acting. It's not like he has to be there. He can step aside. So he's not the national commissioner. So it's not the same process of removing. For much less, previous national commissioners have been suspended. For much less, for less allegations, they've been suspended and dealt with and gotten rid of. Here we see an ongoing matter, going on and on and on and on. And the issue about the media, well, I can't stop the media from saying what they want to. General Patani went to the media. So, in any event, the way I understand it, the media is free in this country.
Chairperson, point of clarity on this. You see, that's my problem. I know the media can report whatever they want. My question was specifically, for instance, when they arrived at the house of the minister, why? It's quite clear the media must have been informed if there is a lack of understanding of what I'm asking.
Question, let's go to the MD. Thank you.
Just in terms of the so-called threat or a breach in security was not reported to the police protection services at all. No. It was reported to Mabula's team. Very different to what the standard procedure is when there is a breach of security. There is a whole process which is involved, an SOP that kicks in. So this threat has been used to delegitimize the IPED investigation. Allow the investigation to continue, to run to completion. Why must it be nipped in the bud? One of the issues for which I've been charged for now is because I asked Mube, who gave you instructions to come from Northwest to Gauteng. You're based in Northwest. What are you doing here questioning my investigators in IPED building about the investigation? He refused to answer. That to me is an indication of a sinister motive. Why would a senior brigadier in the police service, especially appointed by the acting commissioner, not want to say who gave him instructions to come to another province where he's not deployed? Why would that be necessary? In line with what the honorable members were asking. Out of 67, so some of them. Top two members who have still been victimized today by Patani. Some of them have been dismissed, some have been transferred, some have won their cases in the labor court after they laid these complaints about the defective forensic equipment and materials. Now, I just want to go to the question that Honorable Mbele asked. Why do we refer to them as a torture team, as murderers? Well, let me give you an example, and maybe General Mabula can answer this also and respond to it. In the early hours of the morning, in June 2006, between the second and the fourth, a body was dropped off at George Mukhari Hospital of Simon Nengwani. That body was alive 24 hours earlier, was picked up from his home without any injuries on him, was then dropped off, and was the doctor on duty refused to take him because rigor mortis had already set in. That meant he had been dead for between 2 and 3 hours already. That man was in the custody of General Mabula. I think he was a colonel then. Since then he got promotion. According to the post-mortem report, the injuries suffered by him, including injuries to his mouth, hands tied, and the fact that he died from asphyxiation, is consistent with torture. Then there are a number of other cases during the same period running up to 2010, with Officer Binang, who was the investigator, and the rest, including Dawood. There was a decision to prosecute by the NPA. The only reason why it was removed from the role was for centralization. So, Honorable Mbele, I hope you understand why we use those terms. So, it's the same unit, by the way, who was used to arrest Kerimel, to arrest General Boyson, all out of their province. It's the same unit. Same unit that is conducting surveillance on us. Now we don't mind that, we've got nothing to hide. We're not above the law, Honorable Brunenbaum. In fact, when we were charged, myself, Sissoko and Cooper, we said, bring it on. And it's the same prosecutors who are dealing with them were those trying to prosecute us. They had no evidence, not a shred of evidence yet. They had issued warrant of arrests for us because we did not want to bend to Minister Nkiego's idea about the rendition issue. And there is no cloud hanging over my head about that. I gave them a full opportunity to deal. They didn't deal. And just for the record, Honorable Mabitcha, Ramat was removed unfairly, unprocedurally, with a lot of pressure on us. The whole issue relating to
the role of Mabula.
Point of order, sir. When you were speaking about the Ramat, you said he must not speak, but he's answering Mabitcha now. Why is he answering me? Because you said Mabitcha is out of order.
Before we ask Teresa Volta to do the analysis of the interference, where we pick out the analysis and give specific occasions of the interference, I'll ask Mr. Sissoko and others just to comment on the question that's been directed towards Manda Mukando. I think he can deal with that question.
Thank you, Mr. Sissoko.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. I think after all said and done, and which is the purpose of why we're here today, it's whether there is an interference with IPT investigation or not. This Honorable House made laws, the IPT Act, and said IPT must have an oversight and investigate members of Sarafian police service. When IPT then started investigating members of the South African Police Services, the members then in turn investigate IPT. With due respect, Honourable Members, it can never be. We are not saying IPT is above the law and IPT investigators are above the law. But you cannot have a situation where when IPT investigators engage in an investigation and investigate members of the police, members of the police forms teams of members who are still under investigation by IPT to do the investigation. Any reasonable person can see that there can never be any objectivity in that investigation because the intention is clear to thwart what IPT is trying to achieve. We therefore lose, and hence I say in the presentation, it offends what this parliament is trying to do by creating IPT. Because therefore it means IPT can never be able to investigate any member of the police as long as police officers are allowed to investigate IPT members or even interfere with the investigation by approaching their witnesses or not. Here's the issue. When there is an issue about the security of the acting national commissioner, why does the acting national commissioner does not go to a competent authority, which is the protection service, to say there's an issue about my protection? Then they do the necessary investigation from that side. But further still, why is there a need, rather than dealing with security, getting into witnesses that have already deposed statements in IPT investigation and ask them to do other statements which will then counter what the investigation of IPT is trying to achieve? In any event, Honourable Members, if the issue here is about the unlawfulness of our investigation, when the investigation is completed, the matter goes to the prosecutors. The prosecutors will decide whether to prosecute or not. If the prosecutors are of the view that IPT conducted an illegal investigation, they will make that judgment. It's not for the acting national commissioner to make that judgment. If the prosecutors are of the view that in this investigation, IPT did something wrong, they will make that judgment call. It's not for a person who is a suspect in our investigation to do that. And that is what is at the core of what we're raising here. And we have written to the former minister about this issue, saying we are concerned that there is an interference with our investigation. Please inform the president that we have these issues. Please let them consider putting the acting national commissioner on special leave or on suspension so that we conclude our investigation. We are not saying he's guilty of any offense. We are saying let the investigation continue without being impeded so that at the end of the day, the competent authorities or the prosecuting authority can make their decisions without an interference in our investigation. That is the core of what we're saying. Hence, we raise an issue that also at the amendment stage, these are the issues that we look at. Otherwise, the work of IPT it's just not going to happen. We will continue to get this interference, and the reason why we have an IPT Act is going to be defeated. Because we came from the ICD Act, and the reason why we went to IPT Act was because the ICD Act was not effective in making our work effective. Now there's a new act, it's unprecedented. It has never happened before. And that is why we're here today, that there is this kind of interference in IPT investigation. How do you then expect someone who is already under investigation by IPT to conduct an objective investigation against IPT members? It can never be. And that's at the core of the issue.
Thank you very much. Sir, Mr. Mashon.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you very much, Honourable Members.
Honourable members, it is true, yes, it is true that I went to call Solomon at some point. The reason why I had to use Paul's car, it was because the bike that I was using, was a two-seater, and I was with my colleague. A complainant by the name of Paul O'Sullivan, we met somewhere next to Sabuji. His vehicle is not a two-seater like the one that I was using. And a complainant said to me, I have evidence to show you. It is my duty, honorable members, to listen to my complainant, all of them. Whether he's a foreigner or he's not a foreigner, he is my complainant.
Are you telling us that you were using Paul O'Sullivan's car? Where are the other cars for IP? You only got vans in IP that is having two-seater. Why didn't you go back to the office and collect the car? What are you telling us? Because Paul O'Sullivan is a private investigator. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we've got the point. Colleagues, we've got just one problem. The mini plenary is going to be, we must vacate at 1:30. So there's a lot of sea of hands. Let's give Mr. Mstrongo opportunity to complete that and the further response from my and then we'll go to SAPS. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable member. We were already there at Sabul Hill. So I wouldn't leave Sabul Hill and go back to my office and fetch another vehicle. I mean, it's about 40 minutes drive. I had to, and honorable members, as far as I know, there's no crime or any disciplinary, break any law by being in the complainant's car. There is no crime against it. And honorable members,
I think we need further, elaboration. We can actually write things. Is there anything else from IFIC before I go to SAPS?
Because when he asked us, he said there's no case if he's using. Why they didn't follow each other?
No, the ruling is that, well, that's the ruling I made. If there's further questions, we'll give it to others. Is there anything else? Okay, that's Arthur's presentation. Yes.
Honourable Chair, I've been requested to just compile a short sequence of events that summarises everything. That's a 5 minutes.
If we maybe, I think let's say that must be made available in writing to members, and then we'll look at it at our next meeting. Right. Let's go to SAPS.
Chairperson, sorry, I know we have time constraints. You're going to SAPS. I've asked a specific pertinent question on the media. Who informed them of all these operations where they come with cameras to take it? I haven't received an answer on that.
Director. Yeah. Well, I have no idea. I think, from my understanding, is the decision to go to Sabre Hills, General Pakhani was informed in his office, and there was a lot of people around there. So, to answer your question, I haven't the faintest idea who informed the media.
Right, thank you. Let's go to Jean Passon and SAPS for their responses. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Just to assist Honourable Khomeval on the question, particularly on the day of the raid at my house, the media was convened in the IFIT offices that morning. It is for that reason that the investigators were very impatient seeing me while I was at the NPA. For another engagement just for recruitment purposes. There are
President,
some...
Sorry. It's very important. So do I understand that Mr. McBride has just lied to this committee?
Yeah, let's refrain from making inferences. Let's allow the relevant delegation to continue with the presentation and then we can deal with it. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. There are some, well, let me do what is honorable and just answer the questions. I know Honorable Riet Langeis, as well as IP, have asked a question about placement on special leave or suspension. For record purposes, Chair, I did not appoint myself as an 18 National Commissioner. I was appointed by the President. It is 3 years that I did not have leave because of the focus on the work that we are doing. I am not glued to the chair of an 18 National Commission. That's not the only reason why I'm employed in this organization. And I believe that I possess what cannot be taken away from me. So if it were to be in the interest of the country and there was good reason why I should be at home, I would have taken the liberty to do so. But I, of course, realize that this is an investigation directed at my person. When you look at the string of allegations that were made by Pop Crew, by O'Sullivan, which is actually a cover-up to bring in Pop Crew in the equation, this investigation is in the main function by Paul O'Sullivan. The issues raised by Pop Crew, we came here before the Honorable House and presented the outcomes of investigations that were sanctioned by the suspended National Commissioner. We're very clear on what the outcome thereof is. On the same matter, Honorable Members will recall that I had said that I'm taking civil litigation against those that peddled those issues. That matter was before the court. As we sit, we are waiting for an outcome of the civil court. The judge will pronounce soon. Interesting was that they could not tender any evidence to support their baseless allegations, which were found to be baseless already by CPM. I know they selectively liked the report. I saw in the response to the answering affidavit, IP was making reference to what they think is juicy out of that report. Read the whole report in context and look at what were the allegations, what were the recommendations. I am not going to dignify some of the issues raised, Chair, with a response relating to people dismissed or people who left the organization until I am given a list of who are those people. If someone resigns, I'm not going to lock the door and say you will stay here because our code provides for such. I now realize how little IP knows about the police because if there is a threat assessment, protection and security services only provide protection. Crime intelligence conduct the threat assessment, the outcome of which is provided to protection and security services and say, this threat is confirmed. Now, I don't know this SOP that they're referring to. Maybe it's one of those that comes from OP. I'm not aware of it. Chair, the investigation, I am not leading any investigation. I am not. General Mawula was very clear in the presentation to say he was summoned by the acting Divisional Commissioner of Crime Intelligence following the threat assessment which is being conducted. And the acting divisional commissioner, who is sitting here behind me, wrote to the provincial commissioner asking for people to be appointed to deal with this particular threat which they had also picked up during that assessment. Now, we are being told here that the threat assessment or the investigation, the so-called Mabula, who I will request, Chair, that he always be given the respect he deserves. He's a general, not just a Mabula, it's not a suspect someone, General Mabula. The task team was not put in place after they have started the investigation. The task team, I was attacked the 5th of June last year. In July already, the work started. At some point, they were appointed. So to come to Parliament and suggest that this was informed by the investigation is far-fetched. And Honourable Chair, it is important that we remember that the South African Police Service is a national competency. I can, if I need capacity, draw resources from anywhere else in the country. When, for example, I'm dealing with Vuani, I'm not only saying the Limpopo people must police the situation. I'll draw people from the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal and so on, because I need capacity there and it is available. And surely, Chair, I don't need IPIT's mandate to deploy. It's the prerogative of the National Commission. Just as IPIT has drawn people from KwaZulu-Natal, the Northwest and Gauteng to come and deal with Patlani, the acting divisional commissioner of crime intelligence, in the execution of her mandate, when she realized that there is a need for investigation, she deemed it fit to secure the services of people who are not in Pretoria, because one of the reasons that was going to be advanced is that here they are bringing bodies together, and maybe Honorable Mchongo, it will also explain why you don't find any of the deputy national commissioners here. They are busy. General Ngonya is in KwaZulu-Natal, General Cruiser is in the Free State. Our work continues. We continue to serve our country. So it is not necessary, because then I would have made the appointment if I were to say to one of the deputy national commissioners, do this investigation. And I took myself out of that and reported what happened. And a lot has been said about the contact. On the 14th of November last year, I was in Mpumalanga. We were launching the Safer Festive Season program campaign. At around 3, when I was called by the builder and said, General, I'm surprised there are people here coming to me. I listened to what he said. The following day, he came back to me and said, General, Paul O'Sullivan was here wanting access to my place, to his place, the builder, and I chased him away. It is at that point that I made contact with the estate manager. For one reason. Why did you allow access to people to my house, which is a security estate, without me knowing? It's standard practice. If they talk about SOP, they must go and look at what are the standard procedures in an estate. That I must be called to say there are these people coming to your property, do you let them in or not? There's no reason why I was supposed to say no. Now it turns out to say, no, we influenced witnesses. Two people that I've spoken to. the builder, the security, the estate manager. I have never spoken to the security manager as they continue to permit out there. So they could not have been interference. Honorable Bennett, I know we say issues are not responded to. I've responded to the issue relating to the letter. And the version which was put before the Honorable House to say that he did not know is untrue. And I have spoken to that particular letter. The reason why the letter was in March, and you saw my response in May to my PA to say schedule accordingly, is because I was waiting for them to be coming. Because they surely do not need to make contact with me and say, do you have a date? I've got an office, I've got a PA, I've got a staff officer, the people that they're supposed to be talking to. But indeed, I said to her, schedule. And one of the reasons why I said schedule, I was sick and tired of the string of emails. General Magula mentioned here 49 emails that were directed at me. To want to get that opportunity to say, guys, I hear you, there is this thing. Because in one of those emails is exactly the long hearsay statement which IPT is relying on in terms of what happened, because he had transported Kakelem Munsami from the Eastern Cape to Johannesburg, accommodated him and transported him back, where during which he was able to listen to him, and that constituted the basis of the statement that he had. So there was no reason why I should not have seen them. But I'm placing it on record once again. To date, I'm yet to be approached by those same investigators to come and talk to me. And I said to you, here is one of them behind me. Northwest Unit, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, in the police we don't have the Northwest Unit. We have got members of the South African Police Service. We do not run a federal state or a federal police, and therefore General Mabula is a member of a national competency, which is the South African Police Service. And I guess I've alluded to who did the appointment, which is the Acting Divisional Commissioner of Crime and Intelligence, to be able to pursue this investigation. Interference, Honorable Mulevasi, is what I hear. Even today here, we have been told there is interference. And I ask the same question. Just as IPIT is empowered to investigate, the police are empowered to investigate. And we are not going to be spectators when there is an allegation somewhere. Now, it's very nice for people to come and say, investigate interference because you're investigating the acting national commissioner. I place it on record here and said, each and every member of the service who is investigating Paul O'Sullivan is being investigated by IPIT. That is not interference. Including asking for dockets from the same members who are investigating officers. There is one of them here, Warrant Officer Flock. He continues, actually just told me when we were flying here, to say, General, I'm still receiving these messages of someone that said they are investigating the defeating the ends of justice against me, against him, because he is investigating who? Paul O'Sullivan. Well, Honorable Mona, I don't know of any witness that has been killed and arrested. I don't know who they are talking of. Who sent you to investigate IPIT, meaning General Mabula? He will answer that, but I thought in a way I've already answered it. What is it that you want to gain? Those two questions I'll allow you to answer.
Uh,
Oh, there's a question which I know deliberately was not answered. Are you investigating Boyce on the strength of the private investigator? My case is primarily based on what he said. Amongst others, he would have said 8 million. They ran around, they are not able to find that 8 million. They spoke about the 80,000 music system. While they have got the bank statement in front of me, of them, I'm still to answer why the 80,075 there. No,
General, sorry to intervene, but we really need to do our times to really
Alright. Let me run through some of them, Chair. I've dealt with the issue solely because of the ICT investigation, no. Honorable Ramatakani, I said, and even for Honorable Riyad Lemaiz, we will continue to cooperate with a competent authority in terms of our law that is charged with the responsibility to investigate. Despite all this, I cooperated, including allowing the investigating officers to interview my daughter, who was a minor. Because of the insensitivity they have asked to do that interview, I said, that's fine, interview her. That I cannot withhold anything because I've got nothing to hide. Go to those list of things that they are raising and ask which one of them are there in the media. It's about my house, it's about my vehicles. Show me a paragraph in Osorio's statement which is mentioning a single thing about a vehicle. Counter investigation unit, it can be seen as interference. It is unfortunate, Honorable Ramadhanagami, that people arrive at that conclusion, but as said earlier, the investigation by General Mawila's team was informed by a security threat assessment. And that flows from the attack that I was confronted with. I know they make a joke about it, but there is a direct link to that threat, to what happened there, and what Paul O'Sullivan has been saying. There is a direct link. Now, if all of us are in the security environment, we should, if I was killed on that day, maybe some people would have celebrated, but some would have said, how safe can we be if the acting national commissioner is being killed? That was going to be a narrative, and I know many of them were going to gain mileage out of that. We told you that threat, we told you this and that, but on that particular day, God was great. I came out alive. I'm grateful to my wife. I'm grateful to the lady at the spa for the work that they did. But it's a joke. To them. So I did not establish the team. I've already spoken to it. ICT Act, we will respect the Act. It's a law of our country, but we are just saying applying that law to the latter. Let it not be selective. And that's never a message that we are going to send through and say, don't cooperate with ICT. We will continue. Despite what they are dishing out to our members, despite the level of harassment which has been directed to our members, we will continue to ensure that that act is being implemented. And we'll continue to work together. There's no reason why we should not work together. Somewhere we will find a point of convergence, and the sense will prevail. The issue of General Munu, I have just referred to Mr. McBride's statement in the Munu docket. Now, I was supposed to take instructions from Paul O'Sullivan. Out of nowhere, to suspend, dismiss, and send General Munu to jail. If I don't do that, he will be all over me like any other thing. I refuse to be captured. That is why he goes around and says, in the justice criminal, what is justice crime prevention and security cluster, there is just one institution which is not captured, and he says, I think. Hey, you realize this capture is a serious problem. If all of us are captured and there is just IPP which is not captured, while they are busy working together, not from yesterday. Honorable Ben, I thought I dealt with the counterintelligence unit in SAPS. And we don't have a counterintelligence unit. We have got a component counterintelligence, which has been detached from the crime intelligence environment, and it was made a division. There are two components in that particular environment, and their mandate is very clear. It can be an establishment informed by an investigation against Pakistan. Well, I'm not going to give you the details of the security threat. It is unfortunate that it is even in the hands of Paul O'Sullivan, deposited there by the executive director. For all what it matters, security threat assessments are not supposed to be peddled in the public domain. The team is comprised of serious investigators. General Mabula has, for the rest of his career, been a detective. He has been in the Hawks environment. Similarly, Brigadier Nube, Colonel Behu, they are seasoned investigators. And I'm grateful with the feedback that I'm getting from the 18th Divisional Commissioner of Crime Intelligence that they have confined themselves to their mandate as provided for in the terms of reference that were determined when they were appointed to lead the investigation. Suspect pursuit, I think General Mabula will talk to that. I hear this story about the Section 205. Honorable Chair, honorable members, my privacy has been invaded for far too long. By the time they try and legitimize my bank statements, which they have, they were already in Paul O'Sullivan's possession, including the building plans and everything. It was already there. So there is no reason for me why I should have an obsession to lay my hands on a Section 205 application. I did not approach anyone for a 205 application. When the lawyers made an application to the court for the document, because they deliberately did not provide me with any document, additional documents when they came for the search warrant, he then requested the document, and that's a process between the court and my lawyer. I don't even know what they are talking of on this one. Honorable Chair, I've dealt with many of these issues. Maybe General Mabula can just talk to the two, three issues that he wants to respond to. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, very short. I mean, if there's any additional information you want to provide to the committee, you're welcome. General, very, very short. I'm going to close in the next 3 minutes.
So, Chair, the first question, as it's been said, we were actually appointed by Acting Divisional Commissioner. As I have indicated in my presentation, and the feedback is provided to him. And also I can say, I don't have any interest whatsoever in the matter which is investigated by IPID. We even went to an extent to draw the line. Whenever witnesses are interviewed, we explain to them to say, it's not a duplication of what IPID is doing. We are only confining ourselves with the threat leveled against the acting national commissioner. It is very clear in our statement. And then members who are actually already in charge in this matter. The first one was Mr. Paul O'Sullivan and Ms. R.J. Trent. And then last week has been set, Mr. Matlangu, who is with us here, and Mr. Bina. They were set with summons and will be appearing in Pretoria Regional Court on the 30th of May this month. But Mr. Paul O'Sullivan and Sarah Jane, their matter was postponed until the 19th, I think on Friday. So there were also bail conditions and they were granted bail. That's all for myself, if I remember what I was supposed to say.
Thank you very much, members. We've come to the end of these presentations. Maybe just to sum up the recommendations, maybe I must just make the first preliminary point without going into detail. I once again, very friendly, want to ask institutions appearing before the committee to provide us with the presentations in town, because we could have anticipated some of the issues is not relevant, and now we have to sit through some of the presentations. Then also, just, I'm not going to go into detail, maybe it's for some people the first time they appear in Parliament, but there is certain conduct rules that we as a committee think is quite important, so we must just indicate that at this stage. Then, just to say that there was some recommendations from the floor. I think it's quite critical that we call the Minister of Police, Honourable Fikile Mbalula, to this committee to indicate the concerns that was raised. Of course, also we will call on the two institutions if there's any other further clarifications or submissions they want to make in addition to today's presentation, to make it available to us within 10 days that we can reprocess it. Then, very importantly, we want to make an appeal that there is adherence to the relevant legislation in terms of the IPED Act as well as the SAPS Act. It's quite important that there shouldn't be any interference in the work of the oversight institutions. Even if we may differ with the approach, then there is the courts that is available, and that mechanisms must be used, or other constitutional mechanisms that is in play. But there must be cooperation. That's quite critical. Then the confidence of the people in the South African Police Service and IPED is critical. And from this portfolio committee side, we're going to monitor it very, very closely. In terms of Rule 227, that's what we need today. We can investigate, inquire anything within our portfolio, any matter of concern. And it's quite important that we have these submissions today. And I think it's quite important for the two different institutions, when they go back, to reflect on the issues that's before us. Because at the end of the day, we must have confidence in those institutions. They must act within the law. They must act in line with the relevant standing operating procedures. That's quite critical. So I think I just want to emphasize that as well. But at the end of the day, it's critical that we have that discussion with the executive authority, that we can take it forward in that regard. So thank you very much for your cooperation. This meeting is closed.